We're going to be in the Word of God tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'll try not to keep you too long tonight. Sometimes I don't succeed at things that I try, though, so you'll have to be forgiving of me, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 19. If you're there, would you stand with me as we read the Scriptures together? Maybe stand and stretch a little bit and just get the blood flowing again. Because this is really important truth that we need to not miss this, all right? 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I really considered several different titles for this message tonight because there's so many that we could focus on that would really kind of highlight the main subject here. I considered for a time using the phrase there in verse number 23, "for the gospel's sake." And then I thought for a while maybe I ought to just consider using that two-word command that he gives in verse 24, "so run." But I came away with this after studying it all in context and considering it. And here's what the title is: Living for Something Bigger Than Yourself. The context, of course, of 1 Corinthians 9, and it's been a couple of weeks since we were in it, but the context of all of this is ultimately that we ought to, rather than using our liberty that we have in Christ to really just kind of have things the way we want them, to be willing to lay aside our rights for the good of others, for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, that we would be willing to set aside some privileges that we might have because we are under grace, but rather than doing that which we can do, we ought to make our decisions based on what would be better for others and ultimately for the cause of Christ. And Paul here is writing and he's using himself as a testimony and he says, "Listen, I've become all things to all men. I've laid aside my rights. I've set aside what I could do for that which I must do because I am to be about the gospel of Christ." And he sums it up with that statement in verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." Christian friend, I would like to remind you tonight that there is a purpose, a calling. There is a high level calling that God has placed on your life, and that is the furtherance of the gospel, the work of the kingdom, and this thing that God has called you to join in and to be part of is bigger than yourself. So many of us tend to live just pleasing self, doing the things that seem right, that look right, that feel good to us, and ultimately pursuing our hopes and our dreams and setting the course of our own life. And while maybe as good Christians we would say, Lord, I don't ever want to deviate from your will, and I certainly don't want to do anything that would displease you, we still kind of set out with this idea in mind that somehow my life is about me, my pleasure, my enjoyment, getting out of life what I want. We see this even, by the way, in our kind of our mottos as a nation. We acknowledge, for instance, in the Declaration of Independence, our Creator. We acknowledge that the rights that we have are endowed to us by our Creator, by our God. And yet in there, what do we remind ourselves of? That we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now again, I'm thankful for the rights that we have as a nation. I'm thankful that we do have enshrined in our founding documents the right to the pursuit of happiness. But friend, you understand that when you join in the yoke with Christ, you willingly surrendered your right to live life in things that would please you, and you chose to follow Christ as His disciple. And while you have these rights, you have chosen to make yourself servant to God and to others because there is something bigger than you. Friend, I mentioned it, I think, on Wednesday night. The reality is this, that all of us have a very limited time left to serve God. And there's going to come a day very soon where, if Christ doesn't return before them, and certainly if then He certainly could, He could come back tonight. I think the signs of His return are all around us. I mean, any day I'm thinking the Lord could return, but the truth is, friend, what if the Lord in his plan does not return for another 150 years? There are a couple realities that are just the truth. The truth is, not one of us will still be here. And more than likely, no one on earth will know your name. And so that really puts into perspective, doesn't it, what's life all about? For the Christian, life is to be about fulfilling the purposes of God, joining with Him in His work. And Paul said, all these things that I do, my willingness to lay down my rights, to eat what I want, drink what I want, go where I want, do what I want, I'm willing to set all of that aside because there's something bigger than me, and there's something bigger than just my life, and it is this: for the gospel's sake. Now, friend, you might look at that and say, well, after all, he was an apostle of Christ. He had a special calling on his life, and it would make sense that Paul's life should be all about the gospel because that's what he had been called to do, but that doesn't necessarily apply to me. But that wouldn't be accurate according to the Bible, would it? Because all of us, regardless of a specific calling in our life, regardless of what God's overall purpose is in your life, the truth of the matter is all of us have been called to live our lives for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. You might say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm an engineer, I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm this. It doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, you are a servant of God. And whatever it is, whatever you are putting your hand to, you need to understand this. Your life is to be about the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 says this: only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That is to be the purpose of your life. It's the furtherance of the gospel. So if you get up tomorrow and you go to work and you work in a factory somewhere, you need to understand, I'm here, but this is a means to an end, and the end is glorifying God through the furtherance of the gospel. If you're going to a construction site tomorrow to work, you're not really just going there to build a building. You might be putting your hand to that, and you ought to do the very best that you can for the glory of God, but your purpose in life is the furtherance of the gospel. some of you ladies are going to get up tomorrow and you're going to spend your day caring for children, teaching them in school, changing diapers, cleaning a house, cooking meals. You need to understand that all of these things are necessary and important. But the purpose of your life is the furtherance of the gospel. And we all have a different place, and we all have a different part in that process, but that's what our lives are to be about. There's something bigger than us, and it really ought to affect every area of our life. It is why we do what we do. You ought to be faithful in your personal witness to other people around you, because you are to live for the gospel's sake. You ought to be faithful in praying for our missionaries around the world, because you're to live for the gospel's sake. You ought to be faithful in your giving, because you're to live for the gospel's sake. You ought to be faithful in joining in missions projects around the world, because you're to live for the gospel's sake. You ought to be faithful in the ministries of this church, because you are to live for the gospel's sake. And I'll tell you that everything in your life is to be about the work of the kingdom of God. Everything. And therefore, that ought to affect every decision that we make. Will this thing that I am choosing be for the betterment, for the furtherance of the gospel, or will it potentially be a hindrance in my life, in the lives of those around me? Paul said, I do everything that I do for the gospel's sake. Christian friend, you have no less responsibility to live for the sake of the gospel than did the Apostle Paul. You and I are to live for the gospel's sake. We're to live for something bigger than ourselves. And so Paul, in his description of this, uses this illustration. Really two illustrations, and both are illustrations of competition. Which is really interesting when you think about it, because we would say that the kingdom of God is not to be about competition. It's not supposed to be comparing ourselves with others or somehow trying to do better than someone else. But he uses these illustrations not because the competition is important, but really what is important is the purpose, the intention, and the intensity with which athletes dedicate themselves to their craft. And we have something much higher to live for. So he tells us in verse 24 that we are to run with purpose. Look what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? We, of course, lived for several years in Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo every year hosts a big marathon. It's not as big as like the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathon, but for the size of the city of Fargo, I mean, people come from all across the country to be part of this Fargo Marathon. Thousands of people are running in this marathon every year. One of the things that's always fascinated me about it is that in that marathon, thousands of people running, there's only one who finishes first. And most people, when they run, don't even necessarily try to win. They're competing usually against themselves. They want to beat their last time or even just finish the race, whatever the case is. They're just running for some reason. But isn't it interesting that when they all run, only one actually receives the prize? I'm an NFL fan, as many of you know. At the end of the season, 32 teams, only one of them holds up the Lombardi Trophy. Only one. Of all the hundreds of athletes across the league, those who work and strive and do these things, only one team, only 53 men get to hoist that trophy and say, we won it. And it's usually the team who's been the most dedicated, the team that's been the most disciplined, because they are playing for a purpose. There's not a single team that enters the season in August or September and says, we're just going out there to have fun. We're just going to do our best, you know. Win or lose doesn't really matter. This is just about good, friendly competition. No, they have dedicated their lives to one thing, winning. And Paul says, look, when you look at athletes, when you look at runners, they're all running. But only one wins, and so that motivates them to say, I'm going to give my all so that I might win. And he then turns to us and gives us a command, and he says, so run that ye may obtain. Do this thing with great purpose, with great intention. Don't just do this to say that you've done it. Your goal here as a Christian is not just to survive. It's not just to live, just to make it, just to kind of get through. Listen, you know what the world does? They live for the weekend. I'm going to just try to get through Monday through Friday. Boy, Monday's a bad day, and Tuesday's maybe a little bit better. Wednesday, I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm starting to get a little bit weary. Thursday, Friday comes along, everybody's happy. Maybe it's payday, it's the last day of the week. Why? Because Saturday and Sunday, those are my days off. Listen, that's how the world lives. That ought not be how the Christian lives. Is that all you've got? Is a day off to look forward to? A vacation maybe once a year. Retirement someday. No. So run that you may obtain. I mean, take your life by the horns and live for the glory of God. Why? Because just like an athlete dedicates their life, I mean, they set aside all these other things so that they can run and run to win. But look what he says in verse number 25. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We've got a much better prize waiting for us. There's something greater. We get that eternal reward in the presence of the Lord. We get to be with Him forever and ever. And if anyone should be committed to the cause, it's us. And yet I'm always surprised, even when I look at myself sometimes, but when I consider how often Christians just kind of live life, getting by. No real purpose, no real passion, no real zeal. Oh, they might be running, but they're not running to win. They're just kind of there, just biding their time. But we have an inheritance waiting for us. And so he says of these who run, that they're temperate. Verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Their life has been disciplined. They have made decisions, they've made choices in their life to deny themselves of some things. No successful athlete has ever just kind of lived their life doing what they want, when they want, eating what they want, staying up late playing video games, eating junk food all the time, going and hanging out with friends rather than training. No one's ever done that and ever achieved anything. The top athletes of the world have had to many times in their life deny themselves. They've had to deprive themselves of sleep. They've had to deprive themselves of certain food that they would enjoy. They've had to say no to different things that their friends are off doing because they're committed to training and preparing because they are temperate in all things. Because they have a purpose. Isn't it interesting? He uses two illustrations, running and fighting. And he says of runners, they're striving for the mastery. They're temperate in all things. Runners don't just show up on marathon day stretch a little bit and go. No, they spend months. Spend months running every day, different distances, different weather, sometimes different altitudes, living on a special diet, watching their sleep schedule. They'll pay special attention to their equipment, their clothing, their shoes. They're very in tune with their hydration and their nutrition, and they want to make sure that everything is just right because they want to be successful on race day. He says in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." Then he says, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." When I was in high school, I had friends that really enjoyed boxing, and I got to be interested in boxing, just not because it was my thing as much as it was something my friends liked to do. But boxers, professional boxers, will train their entire lives to box. And you would think, okay, they're just, you know, this is what they do. They're a professional boxer. They've been doing this their whole life. There's nothing else that they can really do. But you know what? 6 months, a year before a fight, they'll hire a personal trainer. They'll go off to a special camp where they're on a super strict diet. They're training all day intensively, preparing, being coached, having little little pointers and tips on how to clean this up and help this. They spar. They've got these professional coaches that are helping them. And the reason is because they understand that success is not by accident. It's on purpose. And they want the title. They want the belt. They want to be able to say, "I am the world champion." Folks, I just want to say to you tonight, we have got to be careful that we don't think that we're just going to somehow stumble into a fruitful, profitable Christian life. The life that is lived for something bigger than ourselves, the life that is lived for the gospel's sake, requires temperance. It requires a self-denial. It requires purpose and intentionality in the decisions that we make. Verse 26, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." Have you ever watched kids run? They just kind of run. They don't take a direction. They kind of flail around. They're somewhat uncertain. They're just running. That's what kids do. They run. Let me tell you something. If I'm running, it's going to be for a reason. Someone said it before. You've probably heard it. If you ever see me running, you better start running too. Because I'm probably running from something, okay? Run with purpose. Paul said, "When I run, I'm not doing this uncertain. I'm not doing it without a direction. I have a reason. I have a reason to live. I have a reason to get up in the morning. I have a reason to do the things that I do. I'm living for a purpose, and I'm trying to accomplish that purpose." Then he says, "So fight I," verse 26. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." One of the things that I learned when I was trying to box in high school, by the way, when you have T-Rex arms, don't try to box, okay? One of the things that I learned in boxing, though, it takes twice as much energy to swing and miss than it does to swing and hit. So don't miss. Because if all you're doing is just swinging, you're wearing yourself out and you're not accomplishing anything. Boy, what a description of so many Christians' lives. Wearing themselves out, but not really going anywhere. Paul said, "I don't fight like that. Every swing, every punch, it's not just beating the air. I've got a target. I've got a goal. I'm working toward this thing." And by the way, what's he saying? It's not just me. So run. You need to live like this because there's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than just your pleasure, enjoyment, and comfort in life. It is the cause of Christ. Paul says, this is how I'm living. And then, this is really important, don't miss this. He says in verse 27, but I keep under my body. In other words, I got to stay on top of things. And he says, and bring it into subjection. You know what Paul said in the book of Romans? He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He says, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, listen, this is how I'm living my life, intentionally, on purpose. I'm driven. I'm passionate. I keep that purpose always before me. I'm denying myself of things that I could do because I'm living for something bigger than myself. But here's the thing. I have to constantly stay aware, and on top of this, I have to continually bring my body, my flesh, into subjection, because there's always the possibility. He said, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what? Here's Paul, the apostle, greatest missionary that ever lived. You know what he's acknowledging? If I lose sight of my purpose in life, I could mess it all up. You know, it's possible to run a race, maintain first place the whole time. A marathon is what? 26.2 miles? What's the point of that anyway? 26.2 miles. You could run 26 miles in first place, and if you stumble at the finish line, you won't win. You know, you never reach a point where you are immune from failure. If you lose sight of the goal, you lose sight of that purpose. Wherever it is that God has you in the race, if you lose sight of it, you are subject to falling and failure. Within the last few weeks, I've heard of several men, a couple in particular, men that I have respected, men that I've known, who in the latter years of their ministry have fallen and failed. Who've ruined their testimony, broken a lot of hearts. And really, it calls into question their entire ministry. You've heard the stories. 30, 40, 50 years down the tubes. They preached to others, and they themselves became castaways. They didn't lose their salvation. If they're genuinely saved men, God knows them, chastens them, and they're sealed. But their life that was supposed to be lived for the gospel's sake has become a life of a castaway. How tragic that is. And yet over in the next chapter, chapter 10 and verse 12, Paul gives this warning, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You think you're doing well, that's wonderful, but you're not above falling and failure. Your flesh is not your friend. And it must be brought daily under the power of the Holy Spirit. You must learn to live daily, denying yourself and dying to self that you might live unto God, because there's something bigger than you. Friend, tonight I just want to give you this challenge from the Word of God. Don't lose sight of your purpose. There's something bigger than you. Live for the gospel's sake. So run that ye may obtain. Would you stand with me tonight? And we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message and this lesson that we heard from the Apostle Paul. I pray that you would help us to live our lives with great intention, great purpose, and help us to remember that there's something bigger than us. Lord, we're to live for you. We're to live for your cause. I pray that you'd help us to see that there's a lasting impact that can be made if we'll yield ourselves rather than living in the realm of our rights and what we can do. Lord, let us live with great passion for what we must do, and that being the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, help us to be driven. Help us to be committed. Help us to honor you even in the way that we respond to your word tonight. In Jesus' name.